Welcome to Podcast 1999, the podcast about Golos. That's like logos spelled backwards, I think. I doubt it.
No, that would be Solog spelled backwards.
Yeah.
Golos Solog. Or go home, dude.
Golos. I'm going to go home. I'm already there. I'm your host, Mark. These are my co-hosts, Matt and Brian, in this order.
In this order. And no other order. Okay, correct. That's done. So if people can like memorize the timbre of everyone's voice, we're good to go. Or maybe you just don't care what our names actually are. I mean, that's kind of fine in a podcast.
Well,
I think.
Brian, we only let you on because you don't sound like either of us.
The truth comes out.
I heard one podcast.
I'm not from Georgia, so I don't talk like you guys.
Yeah, no. There was one podcast where I was reading like a Reddit complaint, like, oh, I can't tell between the two of the co-hosts. I'm like, I can. What's wrong with you?
But there are people whose voices sound similar to each other, but those are not podcasts which I am on.
Right.
I don't sound like you or Brian or Luke or
People who've been friends for a long time. I saw this issue with you remember Abel Richardson, the Go Bayside podcast. She has a friend named Millie and they do a podcast. Sometimes they sound very much alike. Because they grew up together in Atlanta and Savannah, so they knew they had the same idioms, the same just general accent, I guess. It's funny.
I don't think I sound like Matt at all, but that could be maybe
I'm
wrong.
I can tell you apart.
I think I've flattened my accent living abroad. Like I avoid like sharp American like A and I sounds when I speak because I don't like them.
I think we're like genetically as different as you can get for two white people, probably.
But not from these Golosians. Golosians.
Yeah, Golosians are all the same. You see one, you see them all, except for the evil ones. They're
not to be confused with Talosians. Yes.
Right.
Nope.
So it's the Exiles. Mark, I assume you do have
the
trivia. You're going to teach us about the Exiles.
I'm going to exile you from this podcast with trivia.
Oh no.
The script for this episode, like the season opener, The Metamorph, was originally written in the season one format and then reworked later. The episode itself subsequently was reworked a lot, with a lengthy scene removed with Maya learning about human history from the middle, including men taking themselves less seriously after the 70s, which obviously did not happen. The scene with Maya turning into an old lady was originally part of this sequence, but then was moved to the end to make room for the explosion footage where they're turning into an ape, which was a person in a suit, which was filmed months later.
I'll take the trade.
Yeah, of course. For the first time in quite a while, we have a new writer. Donald James was born in 1931 in London. He wrote on several TV series, including Mission Impossible, but also My Partner the Ghost, The Befrienders, and UFO. His final on-screen credit was immediately following this with his work on 1981's A Spy at Evening, but he didn't pass away until 2008 at the age of 76. But in the meantime, he'll be back to write two more Space 1999 episodes this season. We've got Ray Austin back on directing duty, the first of two episodes from him this season. Guesting this week as the evil Cantor? We have Peter Duncan, born in London in 1954. It looks like he did a lot of TV stuntman ninja warrior type stuff, like cleaning the face of Big Ben, fighting a sumo wrestler, walking a high wire, and lying on a bed of nails with a tarantula and a python on his chest. His IMDb bio is full of that stuff, which I assume is all true. He started his acting career in the 70s on stage, and this transitioned quickly to TV and film. You can see him in Teenage Health Freak, Sex Through the Ages, and Flash Gordon. As you may have guessed, his voice in the episode was dubbed by someone else because it was decided that he sounded too British. I found no information on who did the dubbing. I do not think it was an actor. As his evil wife Zova, we have Stacey Dorning, born in 1958 in London. Hey, everyone's from London this week. She mostly worked as a TV actor, appearing in shows like Cannon and Ball, Let's Parlay Franglais, and The Chiffy Kids. But you can also catch her in Terror of Frankenstein. Like Duncan, she is still with us today. Playing Mirella, we have Margaret Inglis, born in 1912. She was an actor with only a few credits, which include House of the Living Dead and A New Life. This is actually her final on-screen credit, but she only passed away in 2010. Her son, James Leith, will show up as a guard in the episode Seed of Destruction later this season. Now it's time for a correction corner. I said in Testament of Arcadia trivia that it was Anton Phillips' last appearance as Dr. Bob Mathias, but I hadn't accounted for the two episodes he took off last season that did not contribute to his total of 23 episodes. The Metamorph and today's episode are his actual last two episodes. He was dissatisfied with his minor roles in these first two of season two, and since he hadn't been given a contract, he left the series by choice. Good for him. I would also
they can't
like
fire him, he quits.
Exactly. I'd also like to take another corrective action and do a small bio on him, since I should have done that last year. Born in 1943 in Kingston, Jamaica, Phillips attended some high school there before his family relocated to Washington, D.C. in the U.S., and then to the U.K. where he attended drama school. His acting career began in the 70s, and although his third credited role on screen is the one here at Space 1999, which is the one he's most known for, he was the first Black actor to appear in many series such as General Hospital, The Saint, and The Bill. He has started a number of projects that advance Black and Asian theater in Britain, including the Carib Theater Company. That's like the first half of the word Caribbean, where he directed a production of The Amen Corner by James Baldwin, which was the first Black produced and directed play that ran in the West End of London. Over the years, his accomplishment in the arena of the stage around the world, directing and producing, cannot be overstated. But you can also see him in The Krez, Tigers Are Better Looking, and Bognor, which sounds like a season two Space 1999 episode title, but it's not. Phillips is still with us today. And that's the trivia.
Oh, okay.
So sounds like he's kind of the best person on this show.
Mark, let's have you take us to the magical land of summary.
The Alphans have detected a swarm of ships, and when they investigate them more closely, they find that they contain cryogenically frozen humanoids. Both subjects they rescue make it through alive. Their names are Kantar and Zova. They try to convince Koenig to harbor the rest of their people, and although he's hesitant at first, they're able to convince him to let them work on Alpha's life support systems to boost their capabilities to accommodate the other cryogenically frozen beings. However, this was a trick, and they were actually using Alpha's resources to create a transportation device to take them to their homeworld of Golos to get revenge. And they kidnap Helena and Tony and bring them along. They confront Golos's leaders and find out that they've actually been in stasis for 300 years. Kantar and Zova overpower the Golosians and declare themselves the new rulers of Golos, and they demand Koenig rescue the rest of their exile comrades. But even though he agrees, he takes the opportunity to kick Zova out of the space craft without a lifeline. Kantar tries to shoot Helen in retribution, but she damages his protective membrane, which causes him to age 300 years and die. Alpha continues along their way, and the capsules with the exiles continue along theirs.
That was enrapturing.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And so, you're welcome. And thank you.
not saying I did not enjoy the episode. I did enjoy the episode. A couple things. Guest star Lower Rent, maybe?
Well, maybe if they let him talk with his own voice. I don't know.
I guess.
I did not catch that. I just thought he had this weird voice, and that never occurred to me. And he's not the, you know, standard Italian dub guy from last season who did all the Italian actors.
Well, it's like, dub people are legends, right? So dubbed Italians or legends up to this point for a guest star. So this is the first time in a while. I was just like, here's a guest star that's just kind of a couple of squibs. They're squibs.
The thing is, the Italian guys all had like Schwarzenegger level charisma, and they were also inexplicably dubbed by another Italian guy.
Right. Although, what was the wife's name?
Oh, her name is
Zora, was it?
do,
Think it's
do,
Zora.
Zola.
Zola. Okay, I enjoyed
Zova.
Zola. Oh,
Zova.
Zova. Okay, I enjoyed seeing Zova.
I'm sure she enjoyed being seen.
Until she put on that spacesuit.
I kept thinking that she was very young because she had that just like petite body. I was sort of like, I kept being like, wait, is that a child? No, it's not.
I was willing to accept that it probably wasn't a child.
No, it wasn't.
So yeah. so okay, that's the, just yeah, I mean last we've been blessed with Brian, not this, well, this Brian too, but the
We're
blessed
blessed with
Brian,
this
the blessed
Brian much
Brian.
more often.
We are, but that guy, the larger man, was, you know, we've had him for the past 2 weeks on this podcast, so it's just like, okay, guest star step down. And then the dubbing thing, yes, does not help. And the other one, maybe the reason they didn't catch is this is kind of spacey, isn't it? And he's not Ricardo Montalban at all.
It's
It
kind of
does have that whole
spacey.
space lead vibe, doesn't it? It's, you know, apparently Superman. I don't know if all Golems have the powers, but it seems like as the episode goes on, Kantor gets more and more superpowers. And I don't know if they're due to his, you know, saran wrapped body. But he can do all sorts of magic things, including the thing that caught me off guard was
The
did you
voodoo.
guys see the news the other day about the AI pin? It's a little
Oh, you
computer
sent
that
me an
hangs like
ad for
it's
it.
like a Star Trek Discovery kind of badge that does everything, you know. If it projects things onto your hand. And I just saw Kantor getting this inexplicably live feed from the eagle of what's going on with Zova and Koenig and Maya in the spacesuits. And it's like, wow, that was weird. That's like another piece of technology that just kind of materialized the same time I rewatched this episode, is this ability to watch things in your hand.
I'm probably no fun at all on this whole opinion, but I'm like, there, I haven't had a smartwatch or smartphone that works correctly. So, can they make a phone that works before they start doing AI stuff? Or can I get a pin that has Windows 7 in it?
It sounds
Can I
like the
just
pin
have
is
Windows
maybe
7?
a leap in technology too far to actually work. It's probably going to flop, but
I
it's going to
am
lead to other things. But
I am
just, I was just
assuming
like,
it
wow,
just.
watching things on your hand, that's straight out of Space 1999.
Once again will recommend another podcast. Behind the Bastards has a couple of episodes on Tech Bro AI. I believe it's called Tech Bros Have Started a Cult Based Around AI, and they go around why that new what is that thing called? It's not a rabbit, but it's like the AI thing that came out. That's the thing you hold in your hand that looks like dumb garbage. It probably doesn't work. They
That's
go
just
into why it probably won't work.
I don't understand. It's like, yeah, it's a comm badge basically. Now we're putting comm badges on us like in Star Trek, but why do they have to do the whole AI angle? I guess there's some sort of algorithm
Sales.
used to, you know, use
It's
your fingers
sales.
to gesture, you know, use gestures on your fingers to steer it, but that doesn't seem, yeah, it's all sales. It's like
You can't,
there's no
yeah, you
reason to
can't.
have to call it AI. It's just a tool that can do
There,
things.
it is literally just society coping with the slow death of Moore's Law that we won't have big jumps in computing, so they're trying to basically manufacture one. And the fact is that the computer you have that you just bought this year probably is not 10 times faster than the one you had 10 years ago. Whereas
Oh, I thought you were
if you
going in the
bought a
other
computer
direction.
and no, I mean,
That you're racing towards the singularity, Jack, guys.
we're slowing. When quantum computing becomes, you know, feasible, if it does, then that's another story. But, you know, right now we're reaching the limits of conventional processors.
Well, I just showed you guys my ridiculous setup here where I have a Windows 7 computer behind the one I'm using the podcast on because that one is still
Dude,
necessary for many tasks, like editing these. Yeah,
I have like multiple old cell phones lying around on my
I got one of those around. Yeah.
desk.
I don't
I
know. I
have
feel like.
two laptops, this new computer, and you know what I'm considering doing? Getting a second 55-inch TV for a second monitor.
Yeah, sure. Why
That's
not?
what I've wanted. I just want to just watch it all burn.
I
Make my
want to
entire wall a screen. I
I want to
don't
turn the
care.
clock back to 2012, Mark, where I remember you being like, wow, this iPhone's changing everyone's lifestyle for the better.
Do you know what? Remember all those apps I had on that phone? Most of them have been delisted and won't work on newer phones.
Right.
So I stopped. And also, well, I can say like, well,
they take away from you.
Yeah, they took them away. And then if you want to replace them, then most apps now are subscription based. And if you have any idea how money works, you're going to be like, so if I pay $10 a month for this, it's $120, even if I want it just for a year. No, absolutely not. Nothing's worth that. Except, you know, Netflix, I guess. And now that costs more than that. So, yeah, screw, burn it all. You know, yep. get me an Apple IIe, please.
You want to play the Oregon Trail?
Yep.
Okay.
It worked. It worked. I didn't have to subscribe to it.
So
never a thing where I shot a bear and then a pop-up came up that was like, want to shoot more bears? Send us the dollar. No, screw that.
I'm gonna throw a few observations, I guess, on this episode. One, Moonbase's new shields not winning me over. So far, they haven't worked at all between the last episode and this episode. Like,
Victor took the Bergman shield with him, I guess.
Well, I guess he died. He took it with him and died in space.
It's because the Bergman shield was designed to withstand black suns, and you know we can't deal with ordinary like bombs or anything.
Maybe he's trapped in his own shield, and they couldn't get him out. That's probably what happened.
So in the beginning of the episode, we get more voiceover, which I guess is just here to stay now, like filling a voiceover.
It's less annoying than the last two season one episodes. It's more like a captain's log now, except it comes from Helena, which is fine.
Well, it kind of seems like she is more confident in this season, which I like, even though sometimes she's given very dumb things to say, but that's not her fault. That's not Barbara Bain's fault, probably. Then Koenig just seems more tired. Anyway, the stars are closer, so they're bathed in blue light. Like, what? Is that real? Can that happen? If stars are closer, are you bathed in blue light all the time?
Is it a blue giant?
Maybe.
If it's a blue giant, sure, why not? It would be like
multiple blue giants. How close do you have to get to a blue giant that you get blue light that bathes you?
You learned all about blue shifting from Into Infinity.
Oh, you're right.
See, you learned. No, actually, you didn't learn anything, did you?
Maybe there's blue shifted, and now when they leave, it'll be red light. I don't know.
Also, I don't think Moonmates. Well, actually, Moonmates Alpha should be moving near the speed of light, but I guess they are not.
So obviously, the little chambers with the evil guys in them look like salt shakers, but they're red. What kind of spice do you think is in the red salt shakers?
Communist spice.
Evil. Yes, communist spice. Borscht powder.
Something like that. Here we go. When they get the alien artifact, can you ever really bio clear an alien artifact? You don't know what it is.
I like the fact that Tony is like, what? Bring it here? What are you talking about? Because that's like what people should have been saying.
Yeah, we're going to touch it. We're going to put it in our lab with no containment. We're going to touch it. That's what's going to happen. That's what we do here. Where have you been the past year, Tony?
Well, it worked out. Yeah, it clearly worked out for them. Never.
Yeah. I do want to get a big flashing danger sign for my room, though.
And yeah, me too. I like the fact that we have a little speech where Helena says something like she saves lives. And then almost immediately there's a scene where she tells somebody to double the voltage to Cantor. And then also Koenig, it's funny that they kind of keep destroying Cantor and like shooting him. And then he turns out to be evil anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, just the fact that Koenig just is like, hey, come in here for a second.
This did get back to it's a new flavor of Koenig is always right, but
yeah,
we are getting back to Koenig is always right, but he's seen Space Seed, so he gets it.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
I did find it fun when Cantor keeps telling him he'll give them the secret, and I just imagine him pulling out a copy of the book, right?
Yeah, and well, the new thing here is that we have limited life support and they cannot take on anyone else, even though they just took Maya on. And apparently, I think at least 7 people are dead, right?
Right. And also, there has been a baby born on Alpha.
Yeah,
I guess
that
there's
that's
like
a
a
big
edict,
revelation.
you know, no sex, please. We're orphans now because we're, you know, we can't have any kids.
Well, you
And they're
can't
handing out the birth control.
Yeah, they like you can't sterilize people because you need them to have kids on Project Exodus or whatever.
So really, instead of titanium or tyranium, they really should be looking for more latex on other planets so they can make more condoms.
Meta? Just have like terranium condoms. Whatever that is.
I mean, yeah, I think the yeah, I mean we got that sauna scene, which was kind of a little, you know, maybe a few shades
Yes.
past the solarium scene. So
Solarium, yes, shout out to Captain Mike. His
yes.
favorite thing, the solarium, is his favorite place on Moonbase.
That
And
was
also,
a
Mark, we have to call out to you. You called it last week, the whole purple vibe thing.
purple vibe thing.
Ruple.
Oh yes. Oh God. Yes.
She's only been on the moon base 1 week, and Maya's already playing, you know, sexy time games with
It is
Cody and
wild.
Helena.
It's obvious where they kind of where they kind of put new things in the script where the tone of the episode takes a wild shift where it's dark and stern and sad, and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, let's all kiss and become each other and make
I keep thinking
statues
Freddy's behind that. He's all about, you know,
of
the relationships, but really he just wants to see Catherine Schell doing sexy things
You were
instead
saying
of
that kind of,
interjecting them in the It's not
you
even
know,
Catherine
it's,
Schell. It's two Barbara Baines.
yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't mind this because I feel like if you're on a moon with somebody for a 300 and 400 days, however long this has been, then you probably would be doing that. I don't know about Maya doing that immediately, but I guess that's just her vibe. It's just like,
I just thought it was funny you called
let's
it out
go.
from a, you know, a 30-second scene at the end of the Metamorph. It goes straight to this.
Yeah, I feel like
We only
I
have
don't know.
24 episodes to work with. They got to move things along.
I feel like I know what it means when somebody goes jumps up super high on the cast list, like the, you know,
That
first
is an
place.
interesting 70s TV thing, though, where there's a cast change and then there's like a 3-episode transition or so, and now it's new status quo all the time, which I maybe is what we're doing here. I'm thinking MASH when they you know, especially when they changed commanders and went from
Don't know much about
and
that.
Tom
Blake to
Christopher as the Hawkman.
But yeah, because I just remember MASH a few times having like these 3-episode transitions to the new status quo, because 70s TV needs to be stuck in some kind of a rut, right? But you
Well, I
get like
mean,
3 episodes to steer the ship. And I did think this one
yeah.
felt more like a season one episode than the Metamorph. I guess both of them you said were written for season one originally.
I mean, the reason this feels more like a season one episode is because it directly takes the Alpha Child. It's like basically most of the Alpha Child story, except for the baby part. Okay, that's not most. A lot of the second half of the Alpha Child
Okay.
or Alpha
Again,
Child.
I was totally tracking Space Seed for whatever reason, but
Well,
yeah.
that too. I mean, it's more like Space Seed, but for, you know, we have had aliens that are like, we're going to take this thing over. We were kicked off our planet because we're
Yeah,
evil.
Valor was the one exile we came across before, but he was alone and locked up and
He was
yeah,
really
in his
angry.
very,
Jarek
very
and his
angry.
wife were also exiles, but they were
Yeah, and but they
they
actually had
weren't
someone
locked in a
actively
room.
chasing them. They actually had someone hunting them down, which was convenient for Alpha. Otherwise,
You're
they would have been
right.
in big trouble. In
Yeah,
this
they would
case,
be
they weren't
dead.
actually looking for him. The Golosians or whatever were just sitting on their planet thinking, oh, dust their hands. They're gone. We don't have to deal about that. What was it, 300 years ago now, right? And so it's
Yeah.
like, oh, that problem's completely solved. He'll never come back and bite us in the butt.
Right in the middle of the episode, something that kind of did surprise me was having the kind of, I guess again, Star Trek style, because we got Fred Friedberger here, but the command staff like talking about what they're going to do, which I don't really think we saw in season one. In season one, it's Koenig's making a decision and Victor's mumbling something to him behind him, you know, but it's not really a conversation.
Well,
I
John.
guess this is probably the point to bring up what I think has been the worst writing of this entire show so far. Is it at the end when he is a Cantor is becoming old and Helena is narrating him becoming old?
Oh yeah, I have a note for
That is,
that.
I laughed a lot, but that is absolutely horrendous, and the makeup looked terrible also.
And
So
there's
it's,
absolutely no attempt, except for one shot where she's actually saying the words. Everything she's like off camera or she's
ADR.
obscured. ADR is so ADR. It
It's
was so
so
obviously
weird.
ADR.
It's
It
so
was
weird and
weird.
unnecessary, and I feel like it must be filler to take up what would have
And
been.
Barbara
Whoever
Bain's
wrote "I
ADR is
like
never
it" out.
great.
I
How
wrote "I
dare her?
like it." I said, "But I like how Helena speaks reality." I might have
Maybe
written
she's
that ironically.
manifesting it.
I was just
And
saying I don't like her ADR because she's always talking that an octave higher than she normally does.
in my previous
Yeah.
note, just to show how dumb I am, is I agree that Cantor seems young. Oh, or now I don't. I
It's like he looked like old Jim Henson for a minute,
don't
until he didn't look like a real person at all. It was funny. I don't know. That's the only nice thing I can say about it. Is like you play that for somebody, and they'll be like not want to watch the series. So never play that for anybody.
Oh,
But
here's where I caught the dubbing. Okay, I wrote audio latency on Golas sucks. So I
yeah,
was
I
thinking it was an audio
unfortunately,
issue for some
yeah,
reason.
I
I
for
don't know
some
if it was
reason
me.
saw that first, so I knew.
I don't know if it's me, but my Blu-rays, sometimes it seems like the audio is out of sync with the video. I don't know if it's my Blu-ray player doing that or what.
In this case, I
Quality
guess it was the
control
dubbing. Yeah, my.
on Blu-ray discs is way lower than what it was back in the day with
I really need to
DVDs.
figure out a way to rip these things and I can maybe, adjust the latency on the audio so it syncs up better.
Yeah.
Why did I
Okay.
write the
Matt.
note Exiles are on course for the anus of the space brain?
I wasn't quite sure where that was coming from, but I liked your observation about the cool, flashy space warp lights.
Oh, God, of
Yeah, no, those were
course.
cool. And I love the way Golos looks. It looks cool. And what's her name? Mirella was great. Maybe she should have been in it more. But
See,
you
she should have
know.
played Ara in season one. She would
Alien.
probably
You're
have remembered her
right.
lines.
You're right.
Alien Command looks like a high budget dipping dot station.
It does.
I like dipping dots. Those are good. I mean, that's supposed to be garbage that only 12-year-olds like,
Dipper.
but I was introduced to them when I was like 12, I guess. So yeah. Well,
I
that's two
mean, I
planets in
like
a row
the.
now where the stuff in the in this one control room can destroy the entire planet if you blow it up or smash it with a rock like Coney did last week. It's like stop centralizing everything in one place so that you can blow up the whole planet real easily.
I like the thing that's best about Dippin' Dots is that former White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer used to go after them on Twitter all the time. Like he tweeted, "Dippin' Dots is not the ice cream of the future." And then a year later, he tweeted, "I think I've said this before, but Dippin' Dots are not the ice cream of the future."
That's kind of a strange hill to die
Then
on, but okay.
a couple of months after that, he shares an article about them filing for bankruptcy.
My mental
Then,
picture of him is
but
what?
they're still around, aren't they? Dippin'
Hey,
Dots?
yeah, they are. They are.
All I can,
Bankruptcy is
yeah.
nothing to a business. They just restructure. You know,
Well,
it's
that's
not
good to
like
know. I felt
corporate
Dippin' Dots.
ruination.
Picture Spicer in my head, and all I can come up is with the Saturday Night Live version.
Yeah. Then he said, if Dippin' Dots was truly the ice cream of the future, they would not have run out of vanilla. So that means that he went to Dippin' Dots, right? I mean, I don't
I was
know.
yesterday, while we were talking SNL and stuff, I was having another pass through all of Patrick Stewart's bizarre comedy bits, like the Exiles one, if you've seen that, where he's describing his film script.
I think I only saw the. How many times did he show up on that show? I think I only saw the one.
It's where Gervais goes into his dressing room and like is trying to show the
Okay, no,
script, and
I
he's talking
didn't.
about, oh,
No.
Cindy, that's great. And then there's the I was saying Saturday Night Live because he has his erotic cake sketch where the entire time you can tell Patrick Stewart is about to crack up. Have you seen the erotic cakes, Mark?
Yeah, I
Okay.
saw that. That was in the 90s, but I think he's shown up since then in episodes I haven't seen.
Possibly, but yeah, I'll definitely get you the extras. But okay, that's near here nor there. That's what I was doing yesterday
Yeah.
before I watched The Exiles. So.
Well, anyway, The Exiles, not a great episode, but there's some fun stuff here.
Maya
it's
goes
weird
gorilla.
How...
That's wonderful.
Yes, that is fantastic.
Alpha sexier now.
No, I'm kind of surprised at myself by how much I love just seeing Maya turn into animals. Just like, even though the
gleam in her eye.
That is one of the dumber scenes in this episode where Tony says, let's not go explode like a couple of rockets. Play it cool. And then he runs in immediately and gets shot. And then she becomes a panther and just stands there until they pick the gun up and shoot her.
Yeah, she wasn't very effective as a panther, was
no.
she?
No.
Gorilla worked,
I mean,
much better.
I wonder why. It's because they couldn't film a panther doing anything to someone. Like, it'd be cool if they just had a dummy and had a panther maul it.
What's my note? Maya should have Black Panthered harder. Okay. Or
they wrote that and they're like, wait, what do we do now? We can't have panther attack a person. You can't have panther attack a stunt person.
Well, it's the
I think
whole
we're gonna
problem.
See the budget when the budget falls eventually, that we'll get less and less live animals. Particularly large animals, yeah, that require trainers that keep them in check.
Well, hopefully they own the gorilla suit. I assume we'll see the gorilla suit somewhere.
The gorilla almost looked like it was wearing drag, like it had makeup on or something. Like, what was
that? Well, it was a Maya gorilla.
Great.
Maya's
it made
got
me
her
so
makeup-y things, right?
No, it was great. I loved it. I was like, please just keep doing this. I might have hated this if I saw it in the 80s as a kid or something, but as an adult in the era where everything has to be CGI and look like garbage, that was amazing.
Right. It's Buck Rogers. I don't remember how much of that they do. I feel like they do some of that sort of stuff too. Of course they do.
Okay. So Tony says that Maya would get court-martialed for doing the...
because the Alpha old, is a military installation. I will say, it's always like Star Trek's not military, but it feels pretty military half the time. And when they started saying that, I was like, oh, that's so weird, because I never even had a glimmer of thinking Alpha was military. It does actually seem like a science station, you know?
It seems like they just wrote that not thinking about what they were writing.
They thought they were writing Star Trek season 3 or 4.
I think it was more sort of a jumping off point for any scientific exploration of the moon or other places, because we kept seeing, you know, space probes being built in orbit to go off to Meta or Ultra or wherever. And also Paul Morrow's job is apparently like an air traffic controller. I guess that's why he's called Controller Morrow. He's just sitting there directing traffic around the moon most of the time. So yeah, it never struck me as a...
probably a stressful job.
But not a military job.
I mean, not a military job.
His father was killed by the Queller drive. He's probably really upset all the time. But I guess now he's dead. I don't know.
Well, he it's like how they say, like, like LSD or shrooms could be therapeutic, and you take them and you get over your stuff. So,
oh yeah, that's a good point.
He had his breakthrough.
Maybe he died looking for more shrooms. He's hoping there were some still out there on the lunar list.
Well, it gets boring on Alpha after a while. It's been 403 days.
Sandra, I'm so that's really why upset. I'm going to go look for some more mushrooms.
That's why we have Tony, someone who's much more comfortable being bored.
Yes, exactly.
that's kind of mean, but I don't know. Yeah, he's Tony, less interesting than Paul. I'm sorry. So
well,
far,
Paul was not interesting 2 episodes into season 1.
Yeah, he barely. I didn't know who the regulars
even,
were.
Right, you didn't even really rate. You didn't notice Paul till like episode 4 or 5, and he didn't really stand out till what, episode 10. So,
I just remember when it was like Sandra and Paul obviously had a thing in Black Sun, and that was the first time I even noticed that he was there.
Right. Oh, the other
guitar, man. He played the guitar all the time. Didn't you dig the guitar?
Rocking. No, and so they still got space guitar.
Two out of three people, at least two people on this podcast play guitar. Maybe three. I don't know.
I can play the ukulele, kind of.
There you go. Three people can play the guitar.
I know the three chords.
100%. It's a common skill.
Of course, Maya's other change in this episode is turning into Barbara Bain, turning into Helena.
Yep.
So I wrote Bain threesome with smooth jazz. Someone's not getting any tonight. But yeah, it does seem we're like directly to like these two actually are doing it as they do in real life, I guess. So we've gone straight. That was the thing. Like, one was kind of a slow burn, right? And now it's like, yeah, they're romping, it seems. by episode two.
Maybe sometime after Arcadia, they just said, screw it, let's go sleep together.
Really.
Yeah, well, I'm sad about Victor and Paul dying in that airlock incident. Let's go have sex to feel better.
Yeah, that's probably what happened. You go write that bookmark.
Okay. It'll be called Let's Have Sex, because our friends died. A Space 1999 romance novel.
But I guess if, you know, someone maybe over the age of 12 watching this in 1976 or whatever is like seeing these changes and just being, what? No. Like they've turned so many dials like slightly at this point.
I wouldn't be surprised if people, I don't know, Brian, you watched this when it came out, right? Did you have any feelings about this? Because I feel like people would just be like, yeah, sure.
Regarding
dialed up relationship,
just a complete season change. I mean, I you know, like Mark and I haven't seen season two, but we came in like completely primed and ready for something, you know, like 30% different.
Well, there's no internet in before 1994.
right. So it's kind of hard for me to I'm trying to think if
It was clear they're trying to sexy it up as soon as, you know, Catherine Schell showed up, and then suddenly Helena's a lot softer. I don't know if it's her hair or something, you know, the new outfits. She's much less strident and always snuggling up to Koenig at just about every opportunity. It was kind of like, yeah, it's a little weird, but I guess it's sort of a natural, in a way, it was kind of a natural progression. Of course, they were going to get together eventually. So it seems like that was the time. But that's what Fred was trying to do. Freddie was trying to get everyone more warm and likable.
Oh, I know the show that confused me as a kid growing up. So I was a little too young to watch Space 1999, but I do remember being very confused between seasons one and two of Webster.
Wait, what happened then?
At the end of season one, he burns down his parents' apartment, and the next season they're in a big house.
Oh, well, good for them. That's a metaphor for what he did to their show.
Yeah, basically. Well, I think that is the thing. Like, it was their show in season one more so. Uh-huh. I mean, they'd already put the name Webster on it, but yeah.
Sometimes they just want to show off their new budget, so they get a new house, but they have to explain what happened to the old house. I think that happened in Remington Steel. Like, Stephanie Zimlis's house got exploded, and then she moved into a flat or something. By the end of the season, she had a new place.
Webster does exist in the Star Trek timeline, by the way.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, because Worf beamed in, right?
Oh, no, Webster beamed onto the D.
No, the other way. Webster beamed onto the Enterprise.
Yeah. But it's just a clip show of Webster of Webster describing his experience to Worf, which is weird, with a couple, like, rando extras milling about.
I mean, Worf is a good foil for Webster.
Our friend Earl figured out that Richard Belzer's character from one of those police procedurals like ties them all together, because he keeps showing up and he's in the X-Files, and then he traced it back, and he's like, half the television universe all ties together now because of Richard Belzer.
Well, there was also
like the Watcher or something just showing up. And
there was, in the early 90s, the must-see TV NBC whatever thing where they had like a hurricane come through, and like four different series had to do the hurricane.
Wasn't that the animated Fox shows?
There was I remember the Golden Girls. Too. The Golden Girls was one of them. So, and yeah. Oh, and all the sitcoms visiting Disney World. But then, like clearly they had one set of sitcom actors do a scene, and then they left, and then they'd have the next, like, they'd have the step-by-step crew, like, do the Tower of Terror. And then it was clear that they must have just that day, like, okay, you guys are finished, bring in the Family Matters crew. And it's like the same scene in both shows.
Oh, God.
Like, it's like the same, you know, ride operator or whatever.
Same character. Yeah.
I did
notice there was a scene that I didn't take detailed notes about. There is something where two people are putting spacesuits on, and it zooms in on Alan Carter's face on a monitor, and he just looks completely over it. Like, he just looks sick of everything. He seems really bummed out in this season. I don't know if it's just has to do with everything. I assume it has to do with everything.
Yeah, and I guess Tony so far is kind of in the Alan Carter, like, you know, space hero role at this point.
Yeah, yeah, they're giving Tony tons and tons of lines, and obviously Alan didn't get much. Obviously, Dr. Matthias didn't get very much.
Oh, my note there is, what is it? Hey, there's Matthias, but he isn't saying or doing anything.
Yeah,
I told you he was back. I told you he was going to be back, but not very much.
You're right. Yeah, and I didn't, I don't think, I may have noticed him in the metamorph, but I think I thought it was an error or something. I don't
I think he
know,
just
man.
threw himself through a window and into space. Like
Yeah.
in War Games, he just threw himself through the window. I'm
Yeah,
tired of this
canonically,
thing.
he just stole an eagle and then just like flew to Golos and started a new
Yeah.
life.
And I think
Okay.
Alan Carter was just upset because he didn't get that sweet gig on the Altaris with Brian Blessed after all.
Yeah, it seems like he's had to deal with a lot of disappointment in a very short window. So that's a real bummer because yeah, I can say Alan better than Tony. Sorry, Tony. I hope Tony's not listening to this. You're
The
good, but
character Tony Ricci is
I'm no
not
the
Tony's.
actor.
No,
Okay, the character. Yeah, he's playing a
the
character that's not very good. You're right. I
character.
should just look at it like that.
Well, I just want to think the character is listening to our podcast, not the actor. That's all.
Yep.
What is this? Don't trust the aliens. Example 7, 8. They're saying it like it's like a like don't trust the aliens. Like you can't believe this, but don't trust the aliens. And I'm like, hey, you've done this
Well,
7 or 8 times already.
Tony said that last week
yeah.
about Mentor's like, we don't trust aliens. I was like, yeah, well, we've had some problems too with aliens, so we don't trust you either.
Yeah,
And
well,
now we're trusting the aliens.
yeah, Mentor kept saying, "You can take me at my word. I am don't trust somebody named Mentor from Planet Psyche. That's just insane. It's like he's telling you he's I'm just, maybe you can't judge someone by their name, but if I meet someone named Mentor, I'm going to be suspicious of them immediately." But also, I guess Kantar, even though I guess Ragnar was good, was a good guy, but Ragnar is dead. I just have, I'm looking at my notes and I'm seeing names.
Okay, yeah, because I actually don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, the fact that he noted
Galosians.
it, he took
Okay.
them like 5 minutes to figure out he's 300 years in the future because he's been asleep for 300 years.
It's not the first thing you would think about, you know?
I put all over my notes. I put that these guys are changing, are going to reprogram the life support system into a death support system.
I
And I
mean,
think this would have been a better episode if it had been called Death Support System.
Kantor is not as smart as Khan. What are the first things Khan
No.
says upon waking up?
I
Brian,
don't
can you answer his
remember.
trivia
How
question?
long?
Yes.
I
Where
mean, Khan
Kantor
is
is
like,
too
what?
dumb to ask. You
Khan
mean,
was
how long
made
have you been
from.
asleep?
He was made from the sperm of 100 million geniuses, right? I mean,
Something like that, yes.
I
He's
mean,
smarter, yes, for sure.
he's super smart and super powerful and super sexy and he's definitely spoken his own voice.
Well, that's the big difference here, right? Kantor's a dumb kid.
Yeah, he's
Are
a
the
dumb
exiles
kid.
super? Are they superhuman? I mean, they have the ability to stun people with their fingertips, and they can project video into their hands, and a couple other
Well, yeah, they have
crazy
powers. So
shit.
they're kind—they seem to be kind of like mutants or something. But yeah, they're not intellectually superior.
But I don't know. It had to do with the completely invisible Saran wrap around their body that keeps them young. That's easily pierced by fingernails.
mean, they're superior because they have no sense of morality, like all these other creatures that they look down on because you believe in things like I didn't even write it down, but
So
it
they
seems
hung
like
out
you
with
believe in
Baylor,
good and
right?
yeah,
They're ethically
basically,
they're right with
yeah.
Baylor, yeah.
Yeah, they're
See,
like black-pilled Redditors.
I'm tweaking more of things I shouldn't watch next to each other because after the erotic cakes, I watched the Jeopardy one where Tom Hanks gets stuck inside a bag because he's stupid.
That erotic cake episode, that SNL was 30 years ago now. That was 1994. Can you believe that?
Yeah,
Yeah, I
they
do.
all of the
It
actors
feels
did
like it
look
was that
somewhat
long ago.
young.
It feels like it was that long ago. I don't know.
Well,
I
it's
don't
around the
know.
time they released Star Trek Generations. That's probably why he was on the show in the
Yeah.
first place.
Time is
Yeah.
an
That was a
unforgiving mistress.
long,
Time is the
long
fire in
time
which
ago.
we all burn.
Two awards.
I had a stressful dream the other night and like as I was waking up, someone in the dream kept saying, "Time is killing us all. Time is killing us all. Time is killing us all." And I was just like, "Ah,
That seems
God."
about right. I had a really involved dream waking up this morning. I had it for 10 minutes after. I should have written something down. Oops. I used to be good about that. Now I'm not.
I've had a lot of vivid dreams lately, and most of them have not been particularly pleasant.
Now I'm thinking of
No,
Homer Simpson saying, "Oh, stupid time."
no, it was
bring
just
back Sheriff Lobo.
I was doing some kind of task in my dream, some kind of job, but it wasn't like a particularly unpleasant one. So, yeah. No, I wasn't stuck in a
Well,
plastic bag or anything. Well, do you want to throw the question on this one, or you got another big observation?
oh, I have my usual
I oh, sorry, go
observation.
ahead.
Go ahead. No, you can go ahead.
Oh, I was saying that I think that the reason Koenig knew which Helena was which was that she was being a little bit of a pill, that the real one.
I thought you were gonna say she had more tongue or something than Maya did.
I think, yeah, she did kiss him for longer, also she was just started complaining a lot and was like,
I assume
"Hell
that
with
stuff happened
you."
all the time in the 70s.
And then she wouldn't give him the bust, even though she should have, because then maybe the yeah, that was really weird how you see Zova putting her hands on that bust and you can magically hear Helena screaming with pain,
I
and
assumed it had a
magically it makes.
comms,
Oh
link.
yeah, I guess her hand would have transmitted it, but that was a lot of magical stuff
It was
happening.
pretty voodoo, yes. I wrote
Yeah,
FaceTime.
I was not able to suspend my disbelief about their abilities after a certain point.
Evil space, evil FaceTime.
I was setting up my daughter's school iPad, right? And yeah, it said all these apps that they're supposed to put on, and all of them were like rated 2 stars. I'm like, well, that's probably disgruntled students
I mean,
because they don't want to review them.
the app I use for my delivery job is straight garbage. I would give it 0 stars if I could.
I think you have to give it 1 star. You have to give it the one.
Yeah, I know. But it's garbage. Anyway.
Brian, were you taking us to the book corner?
Yes, I was. How did you
Okay.
guess? Well, you made a comment that made me realize I was gonna try to read the novelization of this episode, and then I realized that, oh, unlike the first season novels, these episodes are in a completely different order in the book, and it's like 3 books down before you get to the exiles. But I did see, I was flipping through the first book, I saw that scene that you talked about when at the opening scene, the Helen is talking about the blue light bathing and everything. I got to wondering, was that written for another episode and it's got grafted onto this one, or did the author take that speech and move it to a different story in the book? Because we were talking about how they were rewriting the scripts to fit the new format. But it was very, the thing I noticed about it, she was talking about it, and then the very next scene, she's like storming into the command center about to talk about the missiles showing up. And it just seemed like there was a real disconnect there. It didn't seem like what she had said had anything to do with what the episode was about.
Yeah, I mean, this one in particular definitely has a bit of a Frankenstein feel, especially just tonally. Like one of you or both of you said that, just tonally, it's like all over the place.
Yeah, it gets sexy really, really fast. And then it turns into
From nowhere, right?
exploding. Yeah, then it turns into there is an explosion and Maya becomes an ape just almost immediately after that part.
I mean,
But
that's
the funny
fun.
part,
That's fun sci-fi whiplash, yeah.
yeah, the funny part is that
now
they
I
talk about how they had to rewrite characters. Like they had Simon Hayes in the script before they settled on Tony Verdeschi, and yet in the novels, if they're all jumbled up, the writer had to like do a lot of juggling of the names around. After a certain point, he had in the Metamorph, he had Simon Hayes, but then in this one, he has Tony Verdeschi, and it's like it gets very confusing. Oh, and what? McClintock or something instead of Alan Carter, who was there from day one. It gets very convoluted when you try to read them.
Sounds like they've got a cowboy on Alpha.
Yeah, it's,
Call him McClintock.
don't think it was McClintock. I think it was
McClinton?
McKinty. I have to
I
go
would just
look it
say
up.
oh,
It
that sounds
was
less like a cowboy.
like a yeah, it was Mick something. I can never remember it.
I just want the camera to pan in the control center and suddenly there's a cowboy there. That's all.
But
Smoking
the
a
weird thing is the
Marlboro.
dialogue and everything was all spot on. I mean, the tracked it, so it wasn't like a really early draft script. It wasn't like things were totally different. It was interesting. I think that guy's still alive. Send him an email and ask him what. Michael
Like
Butterworth.
if this was like Airplane 2 or something, there would definitely be a cowboy here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was definitely thinking of a Mel Brooks or a
Yeah.
Zucker or whatever.
Alpha Beta Base.
Right. So I guess we're
Airplane
looking at
2, the
these
sequel.
episode now, how much of this is hard sci-fi and how much of this is soft sci-fi. And hey, if you want to add in a third one of how much it's completely stupid sci-fi, you're welcome to do that. let's see. I'll go first. I'm trying to work out hard sci-fi in this at all. There's some weird suspended animation. You just doesn't. I mean, we don't have too much eagle stuff in this. Like the Metamorph had all that landing scene and stuff, which this doesn't have. So
it has the claw machine that reaches out and grabs missiles out of space and brings them back down to Alpha.
I think I'm gonna call that soft sci-fi.
That's pretty cool.
Well, the way it disappears out of nowhere, it's like suddenly this eagle has a claw on it that we've never seen before.
This is softcore sci-fi. That's how I'm gonna rate this episode. It's softcore sci-fi. Yeah.
I was gonna say 80% soft sci-fi and 20% softcore threesome.
That works. Yeah. This episode is just like entertainingly horny for no reason.
And yeah, it's dark, but the dark parts still don't make any sense. They're still soft. You know?
Well, that's where just having, I mean, you know, I'm not even talking about the actors. Like you said, he's dubbed, he's sound too British, blah, blah. It's just like they have zero gravitas.
Yeah.
I feel like it's like the teenagers at the mall are bothering you, you know?
You don't follow up Jarek and Balor with these guys.
Yeah.
These two. Like, probably every single.
And you don't follow up Mentor from last week with these guys.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time thinking of an antagonist from season one that's worse than them.
Although we are having villains that are dispatching themselves, like Mentor, you know, could have changed to something, gotten out of that fire pretty quickly, as we noted last week.
You think that he's just every villain is just him changing into somebody else every week?
Yeah, and this guy, yes, yeah, this guy just gets old real fast. So.
What a plot twist that'd be. He came on board Alpha as a gnat or something, and then he's just been around ever since, and then he just shows up one day.
I mean, if there was a reboot,
awesome.
Yeah,
I'd
if
like
there was
that.
A reboot that started, let's say, 92 or later, then that would happen. Absolutely.
Except they'd airlock him because they already took on Maya and they
Balor.
Can't take on new people. So
no,
yeah,
but what you do is he's changed, and you're like, no, I've changed. I'm good now. Except he hasn't changed.
No, they just can't have him. They can't have more people in Alpha. That's the only reason.
It's like, I'll turn into a lizard.
We said so.
So I don't breathe the life support.
Do we get you know what the show needed? And hey, maybe we're going to get it. We need the Legion of Supervillains where Balor doesn't come back because he was supposed to and he didn't. But Balor, Jarek, and Mentor together at last. They're all flying in Leo McKern. Gwent.
Yeah, fly around in Gwent, and they pick up Simmons. They pick him up.
Oh yeah, they pick up Simmons too, and they could be like the Legion of Space Evil.
Thinking of all the crashed models outside the moon base Alpha. All the blown up models that are just sitting there.
Man. I know that. I mean, we always see Alpha, and it's like looks awesome with the title card. I'm like, it's probably a dump around there. Probably looks like a bunch of twisted metal, and I mean, parts of the moon base have been destroyed and stuff. You know, it must look like a garbage dump by this point.
Maybe all that stuff flies off.
I don't think the moon's got some gravity. Not as
you
much.
Think like McMurdo Station in South in Antarctica has probably got a big dump right next to it of all the stuff they don't use anymore.
Well, they do have a dump. I've spent some time on Google Earth looking at it. But they can go out and clean it up more, where I don't think the Alphans really have the personnel or I mean, if they have the means, they don't 300 minus a few people are not going to be able to clean up giant spaceship wrecks very easily. Unless they got
Brian
drones.
Johnson build like a bulldozer, a moon bulldozer to just push moon junk around.
Yeah, they need one guy with a giant bulldozer.
And one episode is just him.
Maybe that's why it does look good around the moon base.
Him saying, like, I've been bulldozing on the moon for 400 days. Yep, I can smoke cigarettes out here. I'm free. Yeah, it's like a picture of Sandra taped to his
that's McClintock.
Dashboard. Yeah, that's McClintock. There was one point I completely forgot to make, which is just the beginning of my notes when they first see the spaceships. Everyone says that they're space bees, which is an insane thing to think.
Because they're in a swarm.
Yeah, I guess. It's still like, oh, there are, of course there are space bees.
Brian, I don't think I tossed you the floor about the hard sci-fi, softcore sci-fi question.
Oh, well, the hard sci-fi I liked about this was they established there's a research base and a travel tube that goes way out to this hill outside the base where they do all the dangerous stuff. I thought that was a nice addition. I don't know if we see that happen again, but they built the model for it.
It would make sense.
The cool Golos miniature with the towers that we actually found them online. You can Google Golos Tower or Space 910. You'll see the model that they use for that. So that was pretty cool. I like the grappling eagle, which, you know, inexplicably appeared with the grappling hook. That's all the harder sci-fi stuff. Aliens who just keep developing new powers every time the plot calls for it is a little, I mean, they were obviously being surreptitious and deceptive about how harmless they were, but it's like every time turn around, they were doing something new. That was kind of dumb, I thought.
It's like on the playground. Now I got new powers. No, you can't shoot me because now I got a force field.
Yeah.
At least yeah, they exactly. waited a little while before, like, Balor was just like, that's right, I'm evil. And, you know, he sort of just tipped his hat. He didn't really have to. Like, Balor could have kept his secret a lot longer than he did.
Yeah, but Balor walks the walk. Balor's got a Balor.
Yeah, I guess he could do whatever he wants because he's super powerful, except for now he's in space. But,
I thought it was funny that we had so much talk about it being a horny episode, but the aliens themselves being, you know, very young and attractive aren't factoring into that at all. They don't.
No, they don't want to touch each other.
They don't want to fall for us humans.
They're like an old married couple, a 300-year married couple.
Yeah, and Cantor, you know, and his, you know, very pale torso visible throughout the first two scenes with him.
Yeah,
wasn't exactly beefcake.
No, well, but you know, everybody loves a powerful guy, and until he loses his saran wrap, and then someone narrates him becoming old.
So what'd you say, 2080? I don't know, maybe about that. Like I said, I like the techie parts of it. They all found their way into tech manuals long, you know, shortly afterward.
I think I said 80% soft and 20% porn, but something like that.
Well, wait a minute. Is it hard sci-fi, soft sci-fi, and soft core sci-fi?
Soft core sci-fi.
Soft core sci-fi.
I don't find a whole lot of hard sci-fi in this, including that the two aliens don't seem very hard.
Metamorphs turning into your girlfriend. That's the soft core
sci-fi. I mean, I don't know. That'd be very confusing if you had a metamorph for your girlfriend. It'd be very confusing.
Yeah, they're just all giggling and laughing about it. I'm like, I don't think this is the first time.
You'd be like the second.
Stay tuned, gentlemen. It's only just starting.
Dude, the second date, it would be like, hey, what if I turn into your dad? No, really. Don't you think it would be weird if I turned into your dad for this date? Yeah, that would just maybe I'm paranoid, but that would come up really quickly, which I don't want anyway. And nobody wants it. Well, some people want it, but
okay. What do people want, Mark?
People want to go to patreon.com/podcastiopodcastius and give us some money and look at other podcasts that are not about weird stuff with someone turning into your dad, like Game Show.
That probably
or
has that.
Films and Filth. Yeah, that probably does.
That. Yeah.
But
don't
other
promise non-weird stuff.
Luke Lowe's Pokemon probably doesn't have that. And Cult Disney, well, no, Cult Disney wouldn't have dads at all, would it?
Mulan had a dad.
Films and Filth would definitely have that. And Hyrule Field Report would not. And I think that's all the podcasts. No, Time Enough Podcast would not have that. So,
whoa, come on. Someone will turn into your dad in Twilight Zone.
Okay, that's a good point.
Wow, that's
really
already. Let me
more
think.
Common trope.
Making bad, yeah. And Mark, you're just getting older, that's all. Your hair is graying. Your fingers are becoming infirm. You can barely sit in front of that microphone anymore. You're growing a beard.
You're 300 years old.
Got to seek the prize of a love that never dies. To our truth, plain to realize. Always seeking the prize for a love that never dies. Drink the nectar of the lotus. The goal of life.